Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome you to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on this holiest Sunday in the year. Isn't it? Super Bowl Sunday. People worshiping in front of their flat screen TVs and in bars and parties and having a good time. Just for fun, I know there's not a lot of people here today, and some of you may not even care about the Super Bowl, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hands for who you're pulling for. Who is pulling for the Patriots? About five for the Seahawks. Who doesn't care at all? I got you. Well, I hope everybody has a safe time and it doesn't snow you in. And if you do go out, be very, very careful. I just hope it's a good game today. And a good worship service. And I'm not going to make all these announcements. You can read those yourself this morning because we got started a little bit late. But there's not going to be a Women of the Church meeting, which would have been today. Verna is home ill, so let's remember to pray for her. And some of you don't know her, but Barb Anderson, really nice lady, used to come here when she was younger. Floyd and Shirley Anderson, who were members, passed away. Lived up off of Birchfield, and she passed away this week, and I'll be doing the service tomorrow at 11 here in the sanctuary. Then there's a luncheon catered by Heavenly Catering following the service. If anyone knows them, the visitation is at Bach today from 12 to 5, so let's remember to be in prayer for them. And session is going to meet on Monday, February the 9th at 7. This is a special meeting. We're bringing in Doug Ports from Presbytery to talk to us about missions, revitalization of the congregation. Someone that does this and has a ministry to do it. It usually takes two churches a year. So I think we're privileged to have him consider us, and we'll meet with him and talk about that. And like I said, have someone from the outside look. And so I'm asking you to be in prayer about this, because I think it's something that we need here. I think that's all for today. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn this morning is on the screen, How Great is Our God. Thank you. Let our worship continue with a prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We are grateful that the strength we receive from you. Forgive us for not allowing your Spirit to fill us. Forgive us for holding on to anger, greed, selfishness, and anything that would harm our spirits. Help us to learn the truth of Scripture. Remind us how much you love each of us. Help us to believe that we have value as your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for a personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Or the Apostles' Creed, so we'll find out if you know it or send your hymnal.
You're testing.
Testing. It's a test. I did it on purpose. No.
I believe in
God the Father Almighty. Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I saw how many people were looking to see if I knew it. Let's greet one another.
You see me where I rest and when I rise.
Thank you. Responsive reading, Psalm 139 in your hymnals, 714. Psalm 139, 714. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord.
Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast.
For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them.
Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
This time I'll ask the elder on the door to come forth with a prayer and praise request.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Cliff Huff is asking for prayers for Brian Springer. He asks that we be in prayer for Brian Springer and his girlfriend's family and friends, his co-worker, and for their tragic deaths this week. Lois Lasik is asking her sister-in-law's nephew, Rick Phillips. He's a 38-year-old. Rick has 8 cancerous tumors throughout his body. They are inoperable. And she asks that we please pray for him and his family. Clara is asking for prayer for Verna Milbert. Verna has requested prayers for her and Ron as they look into assisted care. Verna will not be driving and will not be attending church on a regular basis. They will miss seeing everyone at Glenshall Valley Presbyterian Church. And then from Jen McComb, she asked praise for the New England Patriots, that they win, and that there are no injuries on either side.
What was that last one?
I'd like to see the handwriting on that.
I think we have a false prayer request here today. Someone slipped that in. Your husband, he's a bad boy. All in fun, though. Let's see something real quick. Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Truly, this is the day that you have made. Now help us to rejoice within it. Regardless of the circumstances of our life, sometimes things go very well for us, sometimes just horrible, and sometimes somewhere in the middle. But we believe and confess that you are always there with us through the power of your Holy Spirit and through your church, where we can come and seek comfort and fellowship together. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers and answering them. All these prayer requests that were given this morning and all that are listed weekly in the bulletin and monthly in the Valley Presbyterian. Thank you for taking care of us, for calling us to be your children, to help us with our soul and our mind, our spirits, the things that might be troubling us and holding us back from a closer walk with you. Touch our lives this day in a special way. All that we pray for and our family and our friends and our community. Lord, we thank you for everything that you did when you walked upon this earth, casting out demons, teaching, healing, even raising the dead. And we thank you today for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I have a preparation, another screen song, You Are the Healing. Bill's coming forth to read. Y'all have heard and read, but I guess this would call Bill's last official day as treasurer, and so we thank you again for your service with that, and then Dave coming on, and we thank him also, and of course Carol.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
Our scripture from Mark talks about and cites the first time that Jesus is actually starting to go into the synagogues and start teaching of the new kingdom and where he's coming from. While he's there, the people don't necessarily recognize him, but the demons do. They know why he's here and what he's doing. And they start to talk, the demons start to shout out and say, "Why are you here? Go away and leave us alone." But Jesus says, "Be quiet, because it's not time for the rest of the people to know yet." So as I read Mark 1, 21 through 28, listen for your own personal message in God's word. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be silent," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Bless the reading and hearing of God's word.
Thank you, Bill. As I get ready to preach this, a little commentary before. When we talk about demons and demonic spirits, I think a lot of things that we've looked at throughout history has been people with mental illness. And for lack of a better term, call it demons. But we, I think, have to allow for the possibility that there are real demonic spirits and someone could possibly be possessed and need the special touch from God. What I don't believe, and I've spoken out about before, when you watch the television ministers and everybody is falling down and demons are being cast out right and left, it doesn't work like that. I promise you. So you may have your own special beliefs about this, but today we're going to be talking about impure spirits and kind of try to tie this together, because this is a very difficult and a very touchy subject. So today we're going to talk about casting out demons, or as Mark calls them in today's lessons, evil or impure spirits. It's not a subject that we talk about very much in church anymore. Some of you remember a movie that caused quite a stir back in the 1970s called The Exorcist. The movie was set in Georgetown University. It was based on events that were reportedly true. The story of a child brought to Georgetown because of his reputation as a medical center, because all the priests that lived there on the campus. The child in the supposedly real story is a boy who was brought there because it was believed that he suffered from demonic possession. In the movie, it is a 12-year-old girl, we came very familiar with Linda Blair, who in the movie is demon-possessed. She displays strange and aggressive behaviors and after she had been playing with a Ouija board. She is constantly swearing and she displays abnormal strength, and we learn that the symptoms of demonic possession. So now when you see a 12-year-old and they're acting strange, maybe that's what's going on. Yeah, really. Just normal 12. This movie details the girl's, her mother's desperate attempts to win her back through an exorcism conducted by two priests. And as the results are horrific. Now, before you run home, if you've not seen the movie and you want to download it or rent it, it has been voted by Entertainment Weekly and Movies.com as the scariest movie of all time. And when it came out, people were freaked out about it. I remember it. Now, the scene in today's text from the Gospel of Mark is far less dramatic than the one played in the movie. Jesus and his disciples are in Capernaum. It is the Sabbath. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. The people are amazed at his teachings because he taught as one who had authority, not as the priests or the teachers of the law. And this is why they flocked to hear him. They knew what he said, and when he spoke, it was important to listen. Christ had barely begun his teachings this particular day when a man in the synagogue began to cry out. Now, when I was going over my notes this morning, you know how when you're reading Scripture, things just jump out at you? And I didn't really have time to process this and think about it. But he was in the synagogue. He was in church, this demonic man. And maybe he came there for a healing, or maybe he was just always there because he was a part of the synagogue, the temple worship. We don't really know, but I found that very interesting. And when he spoke, the first time he spoke in the third person plural, like he had a dissociative disorder, the most famous being multiple personality. And he says, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" Then reverts to the first person singular. "I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." In an opening, I talked about mental illness. There's so many. If you read the book that listen, but schizophrenia that we kind of hear about, and bipolar, which used to be called manic depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, dissociative disorder with different categories under that, borderline personality, the narcissistic personality. There's all kind of things that can affect a mind and make it not work properly, and scientists and doctors are still trying to figure out why and why certain medicines can help someone. Mark explains to us that this man who was crying out was possessed by an impure spirit. We don't know if this means that the man was mentally deranged, but we might guess that he probably was, and sadly such people do exist that have a serious mental illness. Whatever the nature of the man's affliction, Jesus was very much in control of the situation. He says, "Be quiet, come out of him." And Mark tells us the impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. Now this man who was formerly causing trouble and disruption in, I'll call it the church, was now sitting there calmly, quietly, and listening. The people were all amazed and began to ask each other, "You know, what is this, a new teaching? He even orders spirits to come out and they come out of a man?" And people began grabbing their smartphones and texting and Twittering and all the things that we do. But of course, that wasn't the way they did it then. They didn't communicate their excitement exactly like that, but wouldn't it be wonderful if when something exciting happened in church that we put it on Facebook or we emailed someone or put it on Twitter or all the different social media things? I hope that if something in church does excite you, whether it's the music or the fellowship or the sermon, the children sermon when they come before us, that you will share that joy. So often when we share things, we share the negative things. But let's try to make sure we share the positive things about our lives when we can and about our church. The only social media that people had in the first century was person to person, and it did spread quickly. Here's a man who teaches with authority, and he has power over the demons as well. Quite a resume for a young preacher. So let's talk a few minutes about demons or impure or evil spirits. Is there an impure spirit troubling you? No, and I'm not trying to ask you if you're demonically possessed and we need to have an exorcism to cast it out of you, because not all impure spirits are supernatural, that inhabit people's minds and cause them to foam at the mouth and tear at their clothes. There are some perfectly normal people who have deep and deadly emotional issues. You may be sitting here listening to this message and you maybe have had thoughts of suicide, or maybe you've had thoughts to hurt someone else. Or you may be suffering from deep depression, or you may know someone who is, and there's no disgrace to talk to someone about the problems that you're having. Do not be embarrassed about it. Mental problems are no different from physical problems. You wouldn't hesitate to see a doctor if you had a sharp pain in your side or your vision suddenly worsen overnight. You would seek out a physician. You certainly should not hesitate if you're dealing with obsessive thoughts or if you cannot pull yourself out of a deep depression. Get help or gently urge someone that you love, that you know is having, maybe a spouse or a child, a grandparent, whoever it might be, get them help. Some of the finest people who've ever lived have had lived their lives when they were tormented by such demons. Don't suffer any longer than you have to in that situation. There are other kinds of impure spirits that may work in quieter but more troubling ways. For example, many of us are controlled by our fears. Fear is a demon that cripples many good people. And fear in your life is a very terrible, horrible thing. For some, it is the fear that they might be attacked and physically harmed. For others, it can be seemingly benign as the fear of being rejected by a spouse or a social group, or being rejected or being laughed at. That's a big one for people. For some people are haunted by the fear that somehow they do not belong, they do not measure up to the rest of society. Author Steve Chandler compares it to the feeling some of us had in high school when everyone in high school was cool but us. Chandler says many people feel like they've been stranded in high school and they're stuck there. Can't let it go. Chandler says, before high school and our earlier and carefree childhoods, we were creative dreamers filled with a boundless energy and a sense of wonder about life. But in high school, something turned around for many people. For the first time in our lives, we began fearing what other people were thinking about us, trying to fit into certain social groups. And all of a sudden, our mission in life became not to be embarrassed at all costs. We were afraid to look bad, and so we made it a point not to take any risk or to put ourselves out there. How can you live a happy and productive life, though, if you're constantly afraid of being humiliated? In an interview years ago, David Brinkley asked advice from columnist Ann Landers what the question was most frequently that she was received from readers. She said the question she was most asked was, "What's wrong with me?" Do you have that feeling from time to time that something's wrong with you, that somehow you do not measure up, that you do not belong? I think that's an impure spirit, a demonic spirit, holding you back from reaching your full potential. Dr. Thomas Harris wrote a very popular book a number of years ago entitled, "I'm Okay, You're Okay." And some of you undoubtedly read that book when it first came out. Among the many truths in that book is one that we need to be reminded of from time to time. The truth is that we all have scripts that were written and imprinted upon our brains at an early age. These scripts even have a sound to them, the sound of a parent or a parental figure in your life. We hear the sounds in our heads, the painful reality of the loudest script that we have to deal with are that "I'm not okay" words that we turn over and over in our minds. These are the scripts that diminish us. These are the scripts that devalue us as human beings. And we hear words like, you know, "You're always screwing things up. You're no good. You're a rotten child. You're never going to amount to anything. You are a failure." And we imprint these words on our brains so they stay with us all of our lives. Unless we allow Christ to cleanse those impure thoughts and those impure spirits from our brains and allow us to believe that we are children of God and that we do measure up. We're God's own children, accepted into God's holy family. Fear, what a terrible demon, whether it's the fear of other people or the fear that something is wrong with me. Fear is related to another impure spirit that controls many people. It is the spirit of anger. Many people today are filled with free-floating anger, and they're just waiting to explode, to go off on someone. Chuck Swindoll, in his book, Growing Strong in the Seasons of Life, uses an example of a camel. He says that camels may build up a pressure cooker of resentment towards their owner. Finally, that resentment will explode and the camel just goes berserk. So what they do in Asia, when a camel, when the owner, the driver, senses that there's something wrong with that camel and that he's building up that anger, the owner will take his coat, one of his coats, and give it to the camel and let the camel just snort, rip it up, stomp on it, do whatever he wants to it till he gets that anger out. And then the camel and the man can go on together. I wish it would work like that with human beings. Many wives would like to give a coat to their husband and let them stomp and scream and jump. And it's vice versa. It can be vice versa on that also. Taking the hostility out on the coat instead of taking it out on one of us. A recent survey on marital violence reports that approximately 1 in 7 American couples has used some form of physical abuse in the past year. 1 in 7. And it may be higher than that. Jim Taylor in Kurtz magazine tells about a friend, Ralph Milton, one day. Ralph awoke, and this has happened to me, because I have aluminum siding on my house, and sometimes a woodpecker will come and tap, and man, that just reverberates through the whole house. Well, the woodpecker was on his antenna, and it was just pecking away, and he was trying to sleep early in the morning. He finally got aggravated, and he went outside. He picked up the largest rock that he could find, and he threw it. And he heard it hit his car. Then he got even angrier, so he kicked a big clog of dirt. Well, he forgot that he was still in his pajamas and barefooted, so he hurt his foot tremendously. The woodpecker, though, of course, was still pounding away, unaffected by his anger. And he heard that distant crash, and he walked over and he looked at his car. The window in his car was busted out, all because of his anger. Anger does so much damage. Sometimes we don't see it, but it damages ourselves and it damages other people. Psychologist Dr. D. Ross Campbell studied young people attracted to religious cults back in the 1960s and 70s. And we're talking about some of the most deadly spirits are those that tell us that we're unnoticed and we are unloved. He said those cults were quite adept at exploiting the feelings of someone that they would pick out of a crowd, maybe sitting alone, and felt that this person is unloved and unwanted, and they would go to that person, surround that person. That's what the Moonies would do. Remember them. He told of an emotionally charged session which several Moonies surrounded a young man. The young man was required to think back to his childhood and recall painful memories. So they kept pushing him on that. And so he told of an incident when he was 3 years old. He remembered feeling lonely and distressed and tried to seek comfort and physical contact from his mother. But his mother at that time did not have time for him and rejected him. Then the Moonies embraced him repeatedly, giving him the physical contact that he longed for, and repeatedly telling him that they loved him, implying that the mother never, ever loved him. And that was just one instance. Who among us has not harbored this feeling at some times in our lives, whether young or recently? I'm nobody. Nobody notices me. No one appreciates me. Is that the impure spirit that may be troubling you today? Do you feel unnoticed and unloved? If there is one impure spirit that the gospel of Jesus Christ should dispel, it's that one, because God loves you. He sent his Son into the world to die for you, that you might have salvation, to show his eternal, awesome love to each and every one of us. So know this day that you are loved. Jesus said it so beautifully in Luke 12. Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies, yet not one of them is forgotten by God? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than two sparrows. Of course, Christ is the only one that can really cast out a demon or an impure spirit. He can do that by filling us with the love of God. So I ask you this morning, are you afraid? Are you angry? Are you feeling unnoticed or unloved? Open your hearts to God and let God create a new spirit within you. Let the demons be cast out. Let the impure spirits be cast out of you. Work on yourself. God loves you. Amen. A hymn of response, 438, Cleanse Me. Just want to remind the session, when we meet next week, it'll be meeting with Doug Ports, and we'll about an hour and a half, then we'll the two other things we're going to try to do is assign the teams, go over that, and review the roles. That'll be our main business. So the regular meeting will go on the schedule when we go over everything else.
As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, may you go knowing, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that you are a child of God and that God loves you. You are of value and worth. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.